this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. And our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Remember golden days, when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again.
Welcome, folks, to another edition live of the Concord Hour here on RBN Republic Broadcasting Network. I am your host, Maggie Rose, and the Concord Hour is being brought to you today on November the 27th in the year of our Lord, 2023. I want to welcome those of you who have recently emailed me that are coming on to RBN for the first time. You've heard about RBN and all the wonderful hosts that we have here. And right after this hour, we're going to have another broadcaster come on, and he usually gives us everything and anything about Trump. But I will be playing a little part of Trump this evening as part of the Concord Hour, because I really believe that it's important that we hear over and over again how Trump feels, what his goals are, and some of his heartache over how he sees the United States going right now. And we're going to be covering some of that today. One of the things I wanted to share for those of you that don't know, that have written to me and I wasn't able to get back with you, is regarding this so-called voter-approved gun control law here in Oregon. It was called Measure 114. Measure 114. Now, folks, let me kind of explain to you a little bit the geography of Oregon from those of you that really either have never been here or don't really understand. Oregon as a state is very beautiful, and it has a lot of agriculture, a lot of forest area, and then the greatest population of people, if you're talking about southern Oregon, we would be talking about the Medford area. Medford is just up over the hill from Yreka, California. It's on the other side of the border. When you come out of California up the I-5 or up the 101 into southern Oregon, you're going to find out as you're coming up the 101, all those people are pretty much on the coast. It's pretty spread out. There's not a whole lot of population there. But if you come up the I-5 and you come drop down into Ashland, Ashland's kind of where a lot of the people from California went after the 60s, 70s, early 80s, early 90s. And so Ashland is what we considered sort of the liberal, the very, very liberal people left over from the hippie generation, people that are extremely, extremely liberal, Democrat, and this is Ashland, okay? Beautiful area. The only thing Ashland's really known for is its Shakespearean theater that they have every year. Unfortunately, the group that has put on the Shakespearean theater every year for many, many, many years decided to hire a lady who was one of those extreme liberals, wokeism. And the thing she did to the Shakespearean theater and everything cost them dearly because of her wokeism. And what they were doing with some of the money, and then they were asking to be bailed out because they were getting themselves into a financial hole, which they would have never gotten into if they had not hired this one lady and her so-called liberal wokeism attitude. And it cost many people to decide they didn't want to go back there. They wanted to go back and see real Shakespearean theater, not something that was converted over to a wokeism of something that is so modernized and so what they would consider politically correct that they really ruined the experience for many people that were enjoying the actual authentic Shakespearean theater in Ashland, Oregon. Now, you come a little bit further up from Ashland, then you have Medford. Very flat, very spread out, very much populated and very populated with a lot of people from New York and people from California. After that, you don't find the populations in huge concentration until you travel probably, I would say, about another 3 hours north up the I-5, and then you hit Eugene. Eugene and Springfield is very spread out, a very, very urban-type city, and huge populations of people there, and many colleges and many universities. And I probably don't need to say too much more after that because of what has happened to our teaching colleges over the last 75, 85, 95 years, and then some. And then just north of Eugene, you have Salem and you have Portland. Now, what is so unfair to two-thirds of the state of Oregon is that it appears that Portland and Salem and pretty much parts of Eugene control the rest of the state, decide what happens, and when their people turn out to vote, they vote usually very, very liberal. They go along, many of them, with the Marxist communist agenda. We have teachers all over the place that walk around proudly saying that they have a communist membership card. Yes, teachers that teach elementary school, middle school, high school, college, and university. And there's an awful lot of these people with the Marxist ideology coming out of Eugene and out of Portland from the colleges and universities there. Now, one of the things that many people have stated over the years is that they are aware of the fact that the Democrats are no longer the John F. Kennedy Democrats of yesterday, that they are more of the communist Marxist ideology, and or they call themselves progressive. Now, I remember a relative one time calling herself progressive, and she was so proud the way she spit out the word. And I remember saying to her, you know, when you use the word progressive, you want to believe, you want to think, or you want others to think that this means that there's improvements being made, that things are being improved upon our society. And what is happening is it's not progressive when you turn around and you believe that you take from some and give to others who are not, many of them are capable of working, able to work, skilled enough to work, but they don't want to work. They do not want to work. They want instead to be mollycoddled. They want to be spoon-fed. They want to be hand-fed. And they don't want to have to do anything for what they're getting. They want something for nothing. And in getting something for nothing, they can sit back. They can watch TV all day, they can play their video games, and they don't have to answer to anybody for anything. Many of them are not even doing the monthly required paperwork in order to get their food stamps or their SNAP cards or anything else that they are getting. They want to basically get all the freebies they can. So this is something that's been concerning a lot of people for a long time, is that we find so many of us are working harder to supplement all these so-called progressive programs, all these people that want to live on the public dole, and they actually seem to think we owe them something, okay? Just because they breathe the same air as we do. And unfortunately, many of the people that the Biden administration is bringing over the border, he is bringing them in by the hundreds and thousands because they believe these are potential people to vote in the Democrat Party. And Catholic Charities, trying to make it look like it's all for humanitarian, are actually part of the problem too. The Catholic Church, and some of my ancestors were Catholic. They were Irish Catholic, okay? Or they were German Catholic. But many of my ancestors, when they came over here, they rolled up their sleeves and they got in to try to make a livelihood for themselves without asking a bunch of favors. But the Catholic Church believes that the more of these people they bring over the border, especially if they're from South America and they're from Roman Catholic backgrounds, these will be more people to put money in the church coffers. Do you think the Catholic Church is breaking the law and doing some of the things they're doing with helping with illegal immigration because they just care so much about these people? No, the Catholic Church is having some very serious problems and has for years. They've had so many lawsuits against them. So many kids have grown up and reported of being sexually molested by priests or being physically abused by the Catholic nuns. And they're believing we have to do something to try to build up our church coffers again. And that is what they're trying to do. And so they're believing that all these people they bring in will be that much more money, because right now the Catholic Church is having to close so many elementary and middle private Catholic schools because of all the lawsuits they've had. And many people are leaving the church because they're fed up with the Pope. We have two popes, regular Pope and what we call the Black Pope. And all the changes that they're making in the Catholic Church to try to keep membership, to try to keep people interested and alive in the Catholic Church, they're throwing away all the many values and principles that they stood for at one time that were good values and principles, like, for case, abortion. Why would the Catholic Church support a so-called president of the United States who calls himself, Mr. Biden, calls himself Catholic, or Nancy Pelosi calls herself a good old Catholic girl, and yet they will support abortion of babies 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, 9 months in utero, including babies that have been born, and allowing them to be killed? Where has the Catholic Church gone wrong? In a big way, folks. So you've got Catholic Charities supporting the illegal immigration, which means they're supporting the cartels. Many of the people coming over the border are not families. They're young men of fighting age. And we're finding out they're from over 78 different countries, including communist China, Syria, Pakistan, Iran, and other countries as well. And this is what the Catholic Church is supporting this. There's not a good vetting process going on right now. People are not being screened. In many cases, from what I'm hearing and what the people are reporting, and I know somebody who in my family who works for Border Patrol, they're actually bringing them in, and in the middle of the night, between 10 o'clock at night and 4 in the morning, they're flying them around the United States and planting them in little towns and communities and out of the eyesight and earsight of people who you wake up the next morning and all of a sudden you find someone that's not from your community. Your community might have 700, 1,000, 1,500, 3,000 people in your community, and all of a sudden there's these people that are not from here. They're obviously not from here. They speak little to no English. And all of a sudden, they've been put up in a hotel in your little community, in your little town. And what's happening is, along with the dumbing down of America, they're bringing in all these people that don't speak English. And if they do come with children, these children are finding that because they don't speak good English and they don't understand, the poor teachers in our public school system are having to teach down to them, which means they're teaching down to their normal students that are there. And what I mean by normal is students that speak English, born and raised here in the United States. Parents born and raised here in the United States are parents that immigrated here a long time ago and became naturalized citizens, and their children speak English, understand English, but now teachers are having to dumb down their classwork in order to cater to these illegals that are coming over the border. Now, what's happening is during the different elections that we had going on, and this has been going on a long time in Oregon, the Democrats in Portland and Salem will actually fly people in from other states, set them up in temporary housing, pay for their housing, give them the SNAP card or food stamps, give them cash, find different ways to lure them to move into the Salem and Portland area, register them to vote once they've met the minimum requirement. I think it's 30 days or 60 days for residency. So get them here. They've been here 30 days, 60 days. It should be 6 months to a year residency before you're able to register to vote, at least a minimal of 6 months. But what they're doing is they're flying them in. They're setting them up with residency 30 to 60 days. They're making sure that they're able to sustain them with food and you know, medical supplies that they need them, and housing, temporary housing, whatever. And then they get them registered to vote Democrat. Then when the ballots go out, because now they've got a way to cheat with mail-in balloting, get them to vote the Democrat Party agenda. And as soon as they're done voting, they are bused, carpooled, and even flown back to their home states, where then they can go ahead and vote in their home states where they are actually registered to vote. This has been going on in Oregon for a long time, and I wouldn't be surprised that this isn't going on in another state, many states across the U.S., because our voting system is so hosed up. I mean, how are you going to know that someone who lives, let's say, in Arizona, who's registered to vote Democrat in Arizona, that they're flown into Oregon or brought into Oregon, set them up in temporary housing, get them to vote a ballot, and then send them back in plenty of time to be able to vote in the Arizona election? So in a sense, they're voting twice. But they're only a resident, a real resident of one state. Now, how would we do that, especially even if we had voter ID cards? Would there be a major computer system? I mean, if you've got the CIA following us and big, huge computers in Utah that track our Facebook and they track our cell phone numbers and they track our landlines and they track everything we do on our computer, why would they not be able to set up a system saying, you know what, this person is a real resident of Arizona, but we can see now where they went to Oregon and they voted in the Oregon election as a Democrat, and then they came back, and now we can see where they also voted in Arizona. Why can't we be, with our advanced technology, have a system set up where we can track people like this and see what's going on? You know, in the last election, the general election, when I was running for governor of Oregon, I had been living from 2014 through 2020 off and on with my mother in California, because she had like heart attacks and fell and broke her shoulder and fell and broke her foot. So each time we get a call at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, I jump in the car and I travel down and I'd be with her 2 months, sometimes 3 months. 1 year I was there 5 months in a row. The final year I was there was 2019 to 20. I was there 7 months with her. During one of those times I was there, I was informed by a friend who was in law enforcement, you know, if you're there more than 30 days, you really should have a California driver's license. So I went in begrudgingly and I got my California driver's license. And even though I'd not been living there since 2002, 2003, They gave me a California driver's license with the same number that I'd had years before, because I was born and raised in California. And so I had this California driver's license. When I went to take the test and get issued my driver's license that day, they asked me no fewer than four times, did I want to register to vote? Because now, you know, in California, like in Oregon, they have this voter motor thing the Democrats push through, where if you don't mark down what party that you're a member of, they mark it down for you that you are a Democrat. Okay? They were doing this a lot in Oregon. We've caught them at this so many times. And then you get a Democrat ballot, or they would mark you down as not affiliated. Therefore, you couldn't vote in the primary election. That was another way the Democrats were getting us in Oregon, is that they would mark you down at the DMV, the Department of Motor Vehicles, as not affiliated. Therefore, you would not get an actual ballot for the primary with both Republican and Democrat names on them. This is a standard ploy of the Democrat Party, okay? So I told them four times, nope, I'm already registered. I'm already registered to vote. I don't want to vote here in California. I'm not going to be living here that long. I have permanent residency in another state. I own property in another state. Everything, my vehicle's registered in another state. No, I don't want to vote here in California. Well, do you know what they did when it came time for the main election of 2022? They turned around and sent a ballot to my mother's house. And I suspected that they had done that because I was hearing these stories. So I called up the Martinez Courthouse, the Contra Costa County Elections Department in California, and I asked them, did you guys send out a ballot for me to this address in California? And they said, yes, we did. And I said, you shouldn't have done that, because I said I did not want to vote in the state because I'm not a permanent resident. Well, we already sent it out. There's no way we can bring it back. I said, what did I get registered as? They said, well, the DMV registered you as a Democrat. I said, well, first of all, you're going to change that from Democrat to Republican. And number two, if anybody tries to fill out that ballot, you are to have the flags go up, and I also want to be contacted. Well, I got a phone call from a very hostile family member that I was trying to vote in two different places. And that family member contacted one of my opponents up in Oregon trying to state that I was trying to vote in two different places, which is an outright lie. Of course, I was able to prove it was a lie. I was able to show the evidence of what had happened. But the point is, look how easy it is for various different states to play these games. So what has happened in Oregon, besides them bringing in people illegal to register to vote and then sending them back their home states, is because they have such a strong concentration of progressive Marxist communist liberals. I put them all in the same sentence. They were able to try to push through what they called a gun control law, which they would say it was voter approved. But once again, instead of being a democracy, it's become a mobocracy across this nation. Mobocracy, where the majority of the people can steamroller over the rest of us and say, you know what? If you don't like it, we don't care. We're going to force feed you whether you like it or not. And that's one thing that pisses me off. I do not believe that because a bunch of people are able to push their way around, even to do illegal things to get something passed, they should be allowed to get away with it. Well, an article came out, and this was in the News Review in Roseburg, Oregon, called Voter-Approved Gun Control Law Violates State Constitution. A voter-approved Oregon gun control law violates the state constitution, a judge ruled, continuing to block it from taking effect and casting fresh doubt over the future of the embattled measure 114. The law, one of the toughest in the nation, was among the first gun restrictions to be passed after a major U.S. Supreme Court ruling last year changed the guidance judges are expected to follow when considering Second Amendment cases. The decision was handed down by Circuit Court Judge Robert S. Rachito, the presiding judge in Harney County, Oregon, in a rural southeast Oregon. The law requires people to undergo a criminal background check and complete a gun safety training course in order to obtain a permit to buy a firearm. It also bans high-capacity magazines. Measure 114 has been tied up in state and federal courts since it was narrowly approved by voters last November. The state trial stemmed from a case here. Okay. Let's see. The state trial stemmed from a lawsuit filed by gun owners claiming the law violated the right to bear arms under the Oregon Constitution. The defendants include such Oregon officials. These are the defendants now. Oregon officials, Democrat Governor Tina Kotek, Attorney General Ellen Rosenbaum, and State Police Superintendent Casey Cotting, C-O-T-T-C-O-D-D-I-N-G. They can appeal, if they want, they can appeal the Oregon Court of Appeals, and the case could ultimately go to the Oregon Supreme Court. Rosenbaum plans to appeal the ruling, her office said in an email statement. Quote, the Harney County judge's ruling is wrong, unquote, the statement said. Worse, it needlessly puts Oregon's lives at risk. The state will file an appeal and we believe we will prevail. One of the plaintiff's attorneys, Tyler Smith, welcomed the ruling. Quote, we hope the attorney general's office will realize that the ill-conceived and unconstitutional ballot measure should not be defended, he said in an email. The decision is likely, quote, the first opening salvo of multiple rounds of litigation, unquote, said Norman Williams, constitutional law professor at Willamette University. During the appeals process, it's likely that the injunction freezing the law would remain in place. Rachio was the judge who initially blocked it from taking effect last December. The different lawsuits over the measure have sparked confusion over whether it can be implemented. In a separate federal case over the Oregon measure, a judge in July ruled it was lawful under the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. But because Rocio found it to be invalid under the Oregon Constitution during the state trial, the law remains on hold. This is because state courts can strike down a state law that violates the state constitution, even if it's permissible under the federal constitution. The U.S. Constitution sets a floor, not a ceiling, for rights. So state constitutions can be more rights protective than the federal constitution, Williams said. Because of this, Oregon officials would have to win in both state and federal court for the law to take effect, he said. Folks, we're going to go to a station break. This is Maggie Rose. You're listening to the Concord Hour here live on November the 27th here at RBN, Republic Broadcasting Network. We will be right back. Please, folks, listen to the ads. And if you can, see it to yourself, especially during the holiday season here, to see if you can patronize some of our sponsors. That helps pay for the airtime of many of us broadcasters here on RBN so we can bring you current information, current news, and things you may not be hearing in the mainstream media. We'll be right back, folks. Don't go away.
To the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Welcome back, folks. I am Maggie Rose, and you're listening live to the Concord Hour here on RBN Republic Broadcasting Network. One of the things I wanted to bring up, there is a virus of some kind that's crossing across the nation that's affecting dogs, and I wanted to put this out as a consumer awareness notification. First of all, for those of you that are buying dog food or cat food made in China, stop it right now. There's too many products out there that you can purchase, maybe for a few pennies more, that would be a far lot healthier for your dogs. We're finding out dogs and cats are coming down very ill, and they're also dying because of some of the foods that they're eating that have actually been made in communist China. Why would you want to trust any food that's coming out of communist China? I certainly wouldn't. But now there's a strange virus that's passing throughout the U.S. that's affecting dogs, and I wanted to play this for you all.
Oregon, California, and some on the northeast aspect, New Hampshire, and that part of the country.
So let's try this again. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Try that again.
California and some on the northeast aspect, New Hampshire, and that part of the country, that have come down with some really bad chronic coughs, oftentimes developing into pneumonia, and sometimes some fatalities. And the reason it's mysterious, if they tested negative for some of the most common pathogens that often cause canine infectious respiratory disease syndrome, such as Bordetella or canine influenza. So that's perplexing, and they're not responding to typical antibiotic therapy, they do develop pneumonia.
Great stuff. We appreciate you. Dr. Jerry Klein, he is the Chief Veterinary Officer at the American Kennel Club. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you as well.
Now, folks, let's try to play that one more time, because I want you to hear some of the states it's hitting right now.
Oregon and California and some on the northeast aspect, New Hampshire, and that part of the country, that have come down with some really bad chronic coughs, oftentimes developing into pneumonia, and sometimes some fatalities. And the reason it's mysterious, if they tested negative for some of the most common pathogens that often cause canine infectious respiratory disease syndrome, such as Bordetella or canine influenza. So that's perplexing, and they're not responding to typical antibiotic therapy. They do develop pneumonia.
Great stuff. We appreciate you. Dr. Jerry Klein, he is the Chief Veterinary Officer at the American Kennel Club. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you as well.
Okay, so then we're going to go right now to something going on that was happening in Israel. Let's play this. I think it's going to go.
Outrage and emotions online and spilling into the streets. Across the U.S., job prospects threatened, donations pulled, and even lives lost in the wake of the October 7th attack on Israel by Hamas and the ongoing war.
I didn't want war before, and I don't want war now.
The son of an Israeli hostage and the father of another Israeli woman kidnapped.
This is an opportunity to connect between the two nations, to reach an honest peace.
A part of a chorus of those directly affected by the conflict calling for unity. A message shared by the mother of a six-year-old Palestinian-American stabbed to death in Illinois.
I will say, pray for peace.
A prayer ringing out from some who suffered the heartache of loss through decades of conflict in the region.
You cannot kill anybody.
I cannot take revenge.
In the name of my child.
In the name and the beauty of my beloved daughter.
In 2002, IDF soldiers visited Robbie Damron's home in Israel. With tragic news, her 28-year-old son David had been killed by a Palestinian sniper while manning a checkpoint. Then, in 2007, Bassam Aramin's 10-year-old daughter, Abir, standing outside her Palestinian school, was shot and killed by Israeli border police firing rubber bullets. Both parents say it was the worst day of their lives. That overwhelming pain, though, the catalyst that ultimately brought them together.
Bassam is just one of my best friends.
The Robbie is a very noble human being.
I really respect him. Bassam is family.
We respect each other. This is the main thing that creates this unlikely friendship.
A friendship they share with more than 700 families who've lost loved ones. This is part of a joint Israeli-Palestinian group called Parents Circle Families Forum.
Our relationship is about the conflict because we believe in a human being. We believe that we have the right to exist.
Families destined to be enemies instead, now bound by a common agony.
I remember sitting around a table and looking into the eyes of the Palestinian mothers and recognizing that we share the same pain.
The group gathers for dialogue sessions, sharing and discussing personal experiences. They also host summer camps so Palestinian and Israeli kids can learn to play and live together.
We are here to hold vigil to demand that there be no more bereaved families.
Continuing their mission of hope and unity in the middle of an all-out war.
That's a kind of a miracle that Palestinians and Israelis are still willing to talk from our group.
It's a conversation they want to share with the rest of the world.
When you take a side, what you do is you import our conflict into your country and create hatred between Muslims and Jews.
We are not a soccer team to support one side against the other side. There is no winners. The only winners are the
for the other, you're not helping me.
As they work for a way to be at peace in their own homes.
Let us make our future much better. For our kids, both sides, for our civilians, for our lives.
Their group now includes families who've lost loved ones in the October 7th attacks, the war, and some with relatives currently in Gaza. And while the conflict keeps them from meeting face-to-face, they continue to keep the dialogue going online. Allie?
Our thanks to Jay Gray for that reporting.
Folks, so here you have an Israeli father, I'm sorry, an Israeli mother and a Palestinian father, both who lost their children. One, the Palestinian father lost his daughter to some rubber bullets shot by Israeli soldiers or the IDF. And the mother, who is Israeli, lost her child to something that happened with the Palestinians. And yet they come together with support groups from both sides of the camp, both Israelis and Palestinians, mothers and fathers, trying to find a way to work together. And in this case, these people have become very good friends, respect each other highly. Why aren't we having that going on here in the United States? This next report I'm going to be playing is what is happening not only on our school campuses, our colleges and universities, where young people are looking for an excuse to be angry. They're lashing out. Many of them, even from the LGBTQ groups, the lesbian, gays, bisexuals, transgender groups, are sitting there saying they're supporting the Hamas for having murdered and butchered people, beheaded not only adults, but beheaded babies in their cribs. And there is video evidence of journalists all around the world having watched that 43-minute video where you see these babies that have been beheaded. So you can't say it didn't happen, that this is not the worst massacre of Jewish people since World War II, the Holocaust. But here's these people, lesbian gays, out there supporting the Hamas, and yet if they were living in Palestine right now, if they were living in Egypt or Jordan or Iran, and that government found out that you were gay or lesbian, you would be executed. You would be murdered on the spot. Doesn't make any sense to me. Now we have young people in many of our public schools, including high schools, that are actually attacking their teachers. I'm also going to be playing a part here where there was a big ship, like a cargo ship, carrying fuel. And I watched the other day where some of these people, and I guess they call them Hutus, actually they're not Hezbollah, they're not Al-Qaeda, they're not ISIS, but they're what they call the Hutus. And they actually had body cameras on while they were landing on top of this fuel ship with a helicopter, and they took over the ship and took the captain of the ship and his crew all as prisoner. Grabbed them, kidnapped them, and took over the ship. Well, the U.S. military came in with our small ship called, I think, the Mason, and they rescued the ship. And as they were getting ready to descend on them, these terrorists jumped in their small boats alongside and took off. So I'm going to play both parts. What's going on? This is one example of what's going on in a New York high school. This is a New York high school last week and just recently, yesterday or today, what happened in New York.
By the way, did you happen to see the footage coming out of the high school in New York? There was a teacher in New York who's been teaching there for 23 years in the New York public school system, and for quite a few of those years at this particular high school. And she put up a social media post in support of Israel after the October 7th attacks, and some of her students found out about it, and they mobbed, they ran out of their class.
So, yeah, folks, I totally agree with him. A pack of feral mongrels, I mean, literally chasing the teacher down the hallway. And she has to barricade herself in the teacher's faculty room. And the kids are pounding on the door, trying to break the door down, trying to get to her. I mean, you know, folks, and how many places across the United States have we heard, especially these urban inner city kids, have, you know, kicked a student to death or kicked a teacher on the head. And they barely even get a slap on the hand for it, okay? So, again, this anti-Semitism, this insanity that's crossing our nation. Folks, we can't have this. The old saying, divided will fall, united we stand. We have to stand against terrorism. This, what happened on the 7th of October, was terrorism pure and simple. And we have many of them being brought across the border by the Biden administration and by the Catholic charities. And terrorists are being planted throughout our country. Little pockets and cells of them are just sitting there preparing and waiting till they get the green light to pour into our inner cities, pour into our suburbs and our communities, and start raising nothing but insanity and mayhem. And believe me, they will do the same thing here in the United States that they did in Jerusalem, that they've done in Israel, okay? The same thing. I will not say the Israeli government has been blameless in what they've done to some of the Palestinian people and how they're treating them. I do believe there's versions of apartheid going on in Gaza. I do believe that the Israeli government has created a form of prisoner, keeping people in prison, not allowing them to walk down certain streets, not allowing them to go even through their own front gate. They have to climb down a ladder and go in the back because certain streets they're not allowed on. So I agree that there's a lot of things going on that I don't agree with. But the butchering and the murder of these innocent civilians, babies and children, cannot go unpunished. And we have to stop the Hamas, whatever it takes. Now, here is the thing here with Trump. I really liked what he had to say the other day.
But we have to...
Turn it on again.
Game they're playing, because if I win, I can say, well, you know, there's a Democrat that's really doing well against me. Mr. Attorney General, make sure you indict him, because you can indict anybody for anything. You can walk across the street the wrong way and you can get indicted. And it's a shame. It's a shame. And they've opened a box that should never have been opened. And on nonsense, they say, I challenge the election. Of course they did. It was a corrupt election, but I challenge it. But they all challenged the election in 2016. I mean, almost every Democrat congressman and senator challenged the election in 2016. But when we challenge it, they open a box where you get indicted over it. And that's a very dangerous thing for them, but it's a very bad thing and dangerous thing for our country.
Will there be a lot of pardons and commutations of people that you think were treated unfairly, J6 defendants, January 6 defendants under your administration?
Yes, absolutely. They were treated horribly. And it's very interesting when I see that very expensive fence that I built in front of the White House. You know, we built that. We rebuilt it. It's made of titanium. And it's really, when I see that being damaged by these people, that's the White House.
Mostly
you have the Capitol.
Protesters.
Let's see what happens to those peaceful protesters about the damage that they're doing to the White House and areas around the White House, because we have people put in jail for 5, 6, 7 years who didn't do anything wrong. And yes, that will happen very quickly.
Quickly, do you want cameras in the event you're in a courtroom?
Well, I'd love to, but I wish they had it when I testified. You know, now it's going to be perhaps a little bit less exciting. It's very sad to watch my daughter be dragged along by that attorney general who's just a disgraceful person. Disgraceful.
President Trump, thanks for being here with us. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much.
Now, isn't that interesting, folks? Here, look what happened to our J6. Prisoners of war. I call them our prisoners of war, our political prisoners, okay? These political prisoners are being sent away for 5, 10, 15, 20 years or more. Some of them, because of their boisterous bravado, boistering over Facebook or over their cell phones, who actually didn't do anything at all wrong. Some of them were not even at the Capitol. Some of them didn't even They weren't even in Washington, D.C. at all. And yet the Democrats and the very liberal judges are actually sentencing them away from their families, away from a normal life, locking them away, and many of them being physically, emotionally, mentally abused, some of them being denied the medical care that they need. And this is going on, and yet, when this whole thing broke out with the war in Israel on the 7th of October, you had all of these LGBTQ, all these progressive, left-wing, Marxist, communist, liberals, Democrats, all of them marching to the Capitol, marching into the Capitol, raising a ruckus right there in the Capitol. Marjorie Greene was even showing us, why is it those people are not being put in prison? Why are those people not being arrested? They actually forced their way into the Capitol and were creating nothing but a ruckus and terrifying people. People were literally terrified because of what was happening and were feeling that their lives were in danger. Why are those people not being prosecuted? Again, folks, the double standards we see going on in this country right now, and it's wrong. I wanted to play this for you. Very important that you hear this.
No. But they're trying to bring it down. You know it, and I know it. It doesn't matter whether you agree that America's a corrupt country, or I know it. You see that plague? It's flying now. But they're trying to bring it down. You know it, and I know it. It doesn't matter whether you agree that America's a corrupt country or this or that and another. But a man who won't fight for his own, a man who won't stand up and defend what God gave him, is a man who cowers down and gives in to evil. If they could, they'd have your sons as daughters and your daughters as men. They'd turn them against you, and they would run you into the ground ragged and make you their slave. They don't like what you stand for. They don't like what you believe in. They don't like your God. They hate your faith, and they do not like your values. Why? Because that right there, brothers and sisters of America, is the only thing stopping them from taking over the world. Real talk. They've got Europe. They've got the third world countries. They've got the Arab countries. They're bringing Israel down. They'll bring us down. They've already got Canada, Australia. You're looking at the last best hope of the free world right there. And I'm telling you something right now. Gen X, Millennial, Gen Z, you don't know what you got till it's gone. And Gen X, you remember what it was like before they turned this thing into what it is now. I ain't telling you how to vote, and I ain't telling you what to believe, but I am telling you 2024, they'll burn this thing down to the ground before they give it back to us. And if you're a praying man, you better start praying that God would raise up leaders. God would raise up men. God would raise up women who would resist this evil indoctrination of our children, of our life, and of our families, and of our American way. Because I'm all about the next dude having freedom, but the next dude ain't all about me having freedom. And I'm going to say to you right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm a God-fearing man, and I love my nation. I love all nations. Heaven's going to be full of all kinds of people. But God instituted this nation so that the whole world would blend together. And he made the best out of it. And it's gone wrong. It ain't what it's supposed to be. And you can complain and you can pick it apart. And you can go with the bones of America and do whatever you want to say. But they don't leave, do they? Because they want the ripest tree. They want the ripest fruit on the vine. We're in their way. 2024 will be full of riots. There's something coming down the pipe. I can feel it in my bones. Hawks. We're on the edge of Armageddon. And that thing's flying right now, and you'll damn well miss it when it's gone. Trust me. And do you see all these people right here? You know how many of those are veterans? And I'll guarantee you, they did not fight so that we could have our kids getting sex changes and doing all these things that's going on in the name of government. They would be appalled. They could not even believe what has happened to us. They would be ashamed and embarrassed. And I am too. But I'm going to stand up and say, not on my watch. Not while I'm breathing. God bless America. God help us. We're going to need him now. There's a dog fight coming, and it's coming to our shores. Get ready. Mystery Babylon could fall in 1 hour. You're going to miss this when it's gone.
Folks, the message there is get ready. Get ready. Start prepping. Making sure you have at least a 6-month supply of food on hand for every member of your family. Water, medical supplies, candles, lanterns, you name it, folks. This is Maggie Rose, and I'll be back on Friday here with the Concord Hour. God bless you all, and have a good night.
And our victory's on the way. And we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. And we ain't taking any more flack. We're wide awake and we're mad.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.